again on Monday morning.
This is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is lashing out following his indictment by a Manhattan grand jury, AP correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Former President Donald Trump says his unprecedented indictment on charges involving payments made during the 2016 presidential campaign is political persecution. Trump, who has always denied any wrongdoing and repeatedly attacked the probe, predicted the indictment will damage Democrats in 2024. In a statement, his lawyer said Trump did not commit any crime. They said they will offer a vigorous defense to what they say is a political prosecution. The Manhattan District Attorney's investigation centered on money paid to former porn actor Stormy Daniels and former Playboy model Karen McDougal, whom Trump feared would go public with claims that they had extramarital sexual encounters with him. Trump is expected to surrender to authorities next week. I'm Norman Hall.
Turkey's parliament on Thursday ratified Finland's bid to join NATO, lifting the last hurdle of the Nordic country's ascension into the Western Alliance. Finland and neighboring Sweden each dropped decades of non-alignment with their applications to join the military alliance after Russia invaded Ukraine last year. Since their accession, bids were ratified at a NATO summit in July. NATO member states have gone through their own processes of giving final approval for Finland and Sweden. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has repeatedly said he expected both Finland and Sweden will eventually become NATO members. And Kenya, Nairobi, faced another day of anti-government protests called by opposition leader Raila Odinga, who was accusing the president, William Ruto, of stealing last year's election and failing to control the surging cost of living. For more news, join us at voanews.com. This is VOA News. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris Thursday pledged continuing cooperation with Tanzania as she met with the country's president, the only female head of state in Africa, in the middle of her first official visit to the continent. Tanzania's president, Samia Suluhu Hassan, took office when former President John Magufuli died in 2021. She is credited for rolling back some of his unpopular policies, such as his resistance to COVID-19 vaccinations, his ban on pregnant schoolgirls, and his limits on freedoms of expression. The United States will provide $560 million in bilateral assistance to Tanzania in the next fiscal year. The White House is condemning the arrest of an American journalist who has been taken into custody and jailed in Russia on spy charges. We get more on the story from AP correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The State Department says it's been in contact with the Russian government, while National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says
targeting of American citizens by the Russian government is absolutely completely unacceptable.
Evan Gershkovich works for the Wall Street Journal. Russian security officials say he was arrested in the Ural Mountains trying to obtain classified information about a military complex. The KGB alleges he was acting on instructions from the U.S. government.
Sadly, this is not a new tactic for Mr. Putin and for Russian officials.
The White House says the administration's been in contact with Gerkovich's family. This is the first time since the mid-80s a U.S. correspondent has been jailed on spying charges by Russia. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Senegal's top opposition leader has been given a two-month suspended sentence after being found guilty of libel. Ousmane Sonko Thursday convicted of spreading false statements and will have to pay about $330,000 to the Minister of Tourism, who accused the politician of defamation and public insults. Sonko had alleged the minister stole $47 million from a government agency. Sonko did not attend Thursday's hearing. Pope Francis' health is improving after he was hospitalized with a respiratory infection, and he has resumed working while his treatments continue, the Vatican spokesman said in a statement on Thursday. We get more from Lauren Anthony.
Pope Francis's health is improving, and he started working again after being hospitalized with a respiratory infection. That's according to a Vatican spokesman, who also said treatment for the pontiff is ongoing. All of this comes as preparations for Easter events were underway on Thursday. The Pope was unexpectedly taken to Rome's Gemelli Hospital on Wednesday after complaining of breathing difficulties.
That was Lauren Anthony reporting. I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
Today is Friday, March 31st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Afo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, the U.S. president announces a billion-dollar initiative to advance global democracy.
And over the course of 3 years, my administration intends to work with Congress to commit $9.5 billion across all our efforts to advance democracy around the world.
Western tanks arrive in Ukraine as preparation for a counteroffensive against Russia intensifies.
British Challenger 2 tanks in Ukraine ready to head into battle. 14 Challenger tanks are being sent to Ukraine, Britain's defense minister said Wednesday.
And a Manhattan grand jury indicts former President Donald Trump over alleged hush money payments. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. Manhattan grand jury has voted to indict former President Donald Trump on charges involving payments made during the 2016 presidential campaign to silence claims of an extramarital sexual encounter. It's the first ever criminal case against a former U.S. president and a jolt to Trump's bid to retake the White House in 2024. The indictment was confirmed Thursday by Joe Tacopina, a lawyer for Trump and other people familiar with the matter who were not authorized to discuss sealed criminal charges. Trump has denied any wrongdoing and has repeatedly attacked the investigation as politically motivated. He's expected to surrender to authorities next week. And senior Republicans in Congress rallied behind the former president after he was indicted by the grand jury and calling the charges a weaponization of the justice system by Democrats. Kevin McCarthy, a Republican speaker of the House of Representatives, said the indictment, quote, weaponized our sacred system of justice, unquote, against Donald Trump. Democrats in the House also weighed in. Ted Lieu, a House Democrat, called the indictment, quote, a horrible precedent, unquote, but necessary if Trump committed crimes. The White House says it has new evidence that Russia is looking again to North Korea for weapons to fuel the war in Ukraine, this time in a deal that will provide Pyongyang with needed food and other commodities in return. It's the latest accusation that Russia is desperate for weaponry and restricted by sanctions and export controls is turning to, quote, rogue, unquote, nations to help it continue to prosecute the 13-month-old war. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said Thursday that as part of this proposed deal, Russia will receive over 24 kinds of weapons and munitions from Pyongyang.
As part of this proposed deal, Russia would receive over 24 kinds of weapons and munitions from Pyongyang. We also understand that Russia is seeking to send a delegation to North Korea, and that Russia is offering North Korea food in exchange for munitions.
That's White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. The first Western tanks arrived in Ukraine this week, with dozens more expected in the coming months. Will it be enough to help Kyiv drive back invading Russian forces? Henry Ridgewell reports.
British Challenger 2 tanks in Ukraine ready to head into battle. 14 Challenger tanks are being sent to Ukraine. Britain's defence minister said Wednesday he could not speculate on any upcoming Ukrainian offensive.
But I think it is no secret that Ukraine is keen to start the process of rolling back Russian forces in the conflict. Obviously, the Russian forces are making almost no progress whatsoever.
Germany also confirmed it had delivered 18 advanced Leopard 2 main battle tanks to Ukraine, with Canada and Norway also dispatching several of their Leopards. European commanders say it could tip the balance in favour of Ukrainian forces. Military experts estimate Ukraine now has a few dozen Western tanks. Is it enough to break through Russian defences? Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said this week that his forces need more Western weapons before launching any counter-offensive. Ground conditions are changing. The spring thaw will turn frozen fields into quagmires. Western nations have pledged dozens more tanks and other heavy weapons. Slovakia and Poland are sending Ukraine their MiG-29 fighter jets. Russia, meanwhile, says it is ramping up ammunition production. British intelligence reported Thursday that Moscow is poised to launch another recruitment drive with the aim of signing up an additional 400,000 troops. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Since Russia invaded Ukraine over a year ago, the United States has earmarked about $1.3 billion in military and humanitarian aid for Ukraine, making it one of the largest ever assistance packages approved by the U.S. government. Investigators assured lawmakers Wednesday the money is being strictly monitored to ensure it is being used as Congress intended. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson spoke with members of Congress about their concerns.
A recurring plea from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
We're in war and we need money.
$113 billion in American assistance has helped fund the fight against the Russian invasion, a cost many U.S. lawmakers say is worthwhile. But there are questions about whether that funding is being spent properly in the chaos of a war. Last year, Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy said the United States will not write a blank check to Ukraine. Three U.S. government investigators overseeing aid told lawmakers Wednesday there are no substantiated instances of fraud to date. But some Republicans expressed concern about U.S. aid paying Ukrainian government salaries and pensions, especially as many Americans are struggling economically. Investigators say that money is only reimbursed once expenses are approved. Earlier this week, a Senate proposal to unite all Ukraine aid under one investigator failed to pass, a proposal that could be revived when a new round of aid to Ukraine is debated later this year. On Wednesday, the U.S. announced a new $400 million security assistance package for Ukraine. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
The United States announced a new financial boost to programs that advance democracy globally, and Ukraine's president made a virtual appearance at the Summit for Democracy in Washington. VOA's Veronica Barderas Iglesias reports.
Welcome, all of you.
The values of democracy, the rule of law, and respect for human rights are under assault around the world, warned United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on the second day of this year's Summit for Democracy in Washington.
The walls are closing in on civic spaces. Constitutional rights are being curtailed and civil liberties are being eroded. Freedom of expression is in free fall.
As Guterres called on countries to rebuild trust and tackle inequalities, U.S. President Joe Biden announced a boost to several programs that advance democracy.
We plan to add another $690 million for new funding for the presidential initiative over the next 2 years. And over the course of 3 years, my administration intends to work with Congress to commit $9.5 billion across all our efforts to advance democracy around the world.
Special attention will be put on technology that advances democratic governance, he said.
Early this week, I signed an executive order here in the United States to restrict U.S. government's use of commercial spyware that has been abused to target dissidents, activists, and journalists around the world, including in the United States.
Wednesday, Ukraine's Ministry of Defense released footage of soldiers test-driving German-supplied armored vehicles. While back at the Democracy Summit, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who participated virtually, reminded the world why supporting his country against the Russian invasion was crucial.
Russia has been at war with all of you for a long time, with the democracies of the world. It fights via disinformation, election interference, espionage, corruption exporting, cybercrime.
He called again for more weapons that could ensure Ukraine's victory this year. In Moscow, meanwhile, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met with his Iranian counterpart, Hussein Amir Abdullahian, to discuss mediation efforts by Tehran.
We discussed Ukraine. We support any initiative that will help stop the fighting.
While visiting Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant on Wednesday, International Atomic Energy Agency Chief Rafael Mariano Grossi also urged Kyiv and Moscow to ramp up talks. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Veronica. And the United States and South Korea are holding some of the biggest and most visible military exercises in years. They are in response to North Korea's dramatic increase in provocative missile tests. The U.S. Bill Gallo attended some of the U.S. South Korean drills and explains what they mean for North Korean tensions moving forward.
A show of overwhelming military strength. The United States is sending some of its biggest weapons to South Korea. The display is wide-ranging. Bombs dropping from these advanced fighter jets, tanks and cannons obliterating targets on the ground, and fleets of warships pounding targets at sea. U.S. and South Korean forces practice storming a beach, a not-so-subtle message to North Korean leadership. These are not only some of the biggest military exercises seen in years, they're also the most public. This drill on a public beach is clearly not just about ensuring military readiness. It's also a choreographed demonstration in front of Korean and global media. A stark difference from 5 years ago, when drills were scaled back during a period of diplomacy with North Korea. Now Pyongyang has resumed missile tests on a scale like never before. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has vowed to exponentially increase his nuclear arsenal. In response, South Korea wants bigger displays of U.S. protection, but the approach may backfire, warns Seoul professor Kim Dong-yup.
If
you don't manage the message correctly, you could wind up provoking a bigger reaction to North Korea. And then we would wind up with a situation where South Koreans are actually more anxious.
오히려 대내적으로 봤을 때도 국민을 안심시키기보다는 오히려 더
North Korean state media slammed this landing exercise as a rehearsal for invasion. The angry rhetoric is expected, says analyst Dan Pinkston.
I'm not really concerned about North Korea being angry. I don't think that's what we should think about or worry about. So North Korea is not suicidal. The leadership is rational. They wish to survive. And whether they're surviving happy or angry is not really my concern.
These shows of force will continue. The U.S. and South Korea are set to hold their biggest ever live fire drills in June. How this period of tensions ends is harder to predict. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Russia's FSB security service says it has detained a reporter of the Wall Street Journal on suspicion of spying for the U.S. government. The arrest of Ivan Kazhovich, an American citizen, is the most serious public move against a foreign journalist since Russia invaded Ukraine. Matthew Laraton of Reuters reports.
Evan Gershkovich, the American Wall Street Journal reporter arrested in Russia on espionage allegations, was brought to a quick and closed-door hearing at a Moscow court Thursday, according to his lawyer, who was not allowed inside or to see the charges against his client. Russia's FSB security service says it arrested Gershkovich on suspicion of spying for the American government, which a state-owned news agency reports he has pled not guilty to. The detention is the most serious public move against a foreign journalist in Russia since the beginning of the Ukraine war. Here's his lawyer, Daniil Berman.
They held a quick hearing. I don't know how long it lasted. 3 minutes? 15 minutes? I don't know. And that's it. And after that, as far as I understand, again, I can only guess what position has been taken. Evan was taken away from here with a decision to hold him in custody.
The FSB says Gershkovich was arrested in the city of Yekaterinburg, attempting to obtain classified information about a military factory without giving details or evidence. The foreign ministry says his activities in the city were not related to journalism and that it wasn't the first time a person had used a foreign journalism role as a cover for other activities. In a written statement, the Wall Street Journal said it vehemently denies the allegations from the FSB, seeks his immediate release, and that the paper stands in solidarity with Evan and his family. Russia's tightened its censorship laws during the Ukraine invasion, including prison sentences for people deemed to have discredited its military. It's also broadened what it defines as a state secret. All independent Russian news outlets have effectively been outlawed in that time span, although it continues to allow some foreign reporters to operate. There are few foreign journalists left. In February, the U.S. State Department issued a travel warning for Russia, telling Americans not to go there or else they may risk arbitrary arrest, and urging Americans currently in the country to leave immediately.
That's Matthew Larratondo of Reuters, and Vatican spokesman Matteo Bruni says Pope Francis' health is improving after he was hospitalized with a respiratory infection and has resumed working while in treatment continues. Lauren Anthony of Reuters reports.
Pope Francis's health is improving and he started working again after being hospitalized with a respiratory infection. That's according to a Vatican spokesman who also said treatment for the pontiff is ongoing. All of this comes as preparations for Easter events were underway on Thursday. The Pope was unexpectedly taken to Rome's Gemelli Hospital on Wednesday after complaining of breathing difficulties. It's not clear when Francis might leave the hospital, though the Vatican said he was expected to spend a few days there. Italian news agency ANSA reported earlier that nursing staff were very optimistic that he could be discharged ahead of Palm Sunday celebrations on April 2nd, the start of a hectic week of ceremonies leading to Easter Sunday on April 9th. It's not yet clear if the Pope will be able to take part in the various services, even if he were to leave hospital by the weekend. The Catholic Church's faithful have come out to show their support for the pontiff. On Thursday, Francis tweeted that he was touched by the many messages received in these hours and expressed his gratitude for the closeness and prayer. His hospitalization has raised fresh concerns over the health of the 86-year-old pontiff and revived speculation over a possible resignation on health grounds. Francis, who this month marked 10 years as Pope, is sometimes short of breath and generally more exposed to respiratory problems. He had part of one lung removed in his early 20s when training to be a priest in his native Argentina. The Pope also suffers from diverticulitis, a condition that can infect or inflame the colon, and has a problem with his right knee that causes mobility issues.
That's Lauren Anthony of Reuters. In other news, a fire broke out on a ferry in the southern Philippines and raged overnight for 8 hours, killing at least 31 people of the approximately 250 passengers and crew. Officials say many of the more than 200 people who survived the blaze jumped off the ship and were rescued from the dark sea by the Coast Guard, Navy, and a nearby ferry and local fishermen. They say rescuers are still searching for at least 7 missing people. The bodies of 18 others have been recovered, and sea accidents are common in the Philippines because of frequent storms, badly maintained vessels, overcrowding and spotty enforcement of safety regulations. This is VOA's International Edition. I am Junior Dolfo in Washington. More than 700 delegates and 300 companies are participating in the third edition of the American Chamber of Commerce Summit in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. U.S. government and private sector delegations are meeting with counterparts from Rwanda, Tanzania, Uganda, and Ethiopia, and Kenya. VOA's Mariama Diallo reports.
Kenya's President William Ruto said Kenya is open for business, highlighting a deal his government struck with U.S. biotech company Moderna.
It is with pleasure that I announce the finalized deal between Moderna and the government of Kenya to build a $500 million mRNA vaccine facility in Nairobi.
Ruto spoke at the third so-called AmCham Business Summit, a two-day gathering where business leaders exchange market intelligence and explore areas of opportunity, especially for commercial engagement, says Maxwell Okello, CEO of AmCham Kenya. He notes it follows the recent U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit hosted by the White House.
This summit coming hot on the heels of the Africa Leaders Summit for us does two things. One, it is a perfect demonstration of some of the commitments that we had from the U.S. government. And then two, is we are very keen to see how we can actually advance commercial engagement. And so we thought that this would be a good platform to create partnerships. So bring local companies who can be counterparts to those American companies who are interested in coming into Kenya.
Scott Eisner, president of the U.S. Chamber's Africa Business Center, brought a group of over 30 executives. He told VOA they hope to forge concrete private sector opportunities and joint ventures.
We have plenty of tech companies with us, but we also have pharmaceutical, medical devices, technology, satellite companies that are doing mapping of the world, infrastructure developers around Caterpillar, the GEs of the world. So we really have arranged for a very strong delegation representing the complexities of America's business community.
Zonzi Katana is a process engineer for the Kenyan-based startup Semiconductor Technologies Limited, who had a booth at the exhibition hall. The company manufactures microprocessors, memory chips, and sensors. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. To ban or not to ban? TikTok has 150 million users in the United States, but the popular social media app now faces the threat of a comprehensive national ban, as well as an investigation into its Chinese-owned parent company by the U.S. Department of Justice. The pros and cons of banning TikTok on Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com. And check out voaafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition on our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA, and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Junior Duffo in Washington, wishing you a great weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a highly provocative move, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or DPRK, regime launched strategic cruise missiles from a submarine on March 12th. These actions only serve to heighten tensions in the region, warned outgoing State Department spokesperson Ned Price.
The DPRK's unannounced cruise missile tests are yet another example of DPRK actions that threaten regional peace and stability. They also present an unacceptable safety risk to civil aviation and to maritime operations as well.
Spokesperson Price affirmed the shared objective of the United States and its allies remains the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The United States, along with the Republic of Korea and Japan, share a vision of an Indo-Pacific that is free and open, said outgoing spokesperson Price.
The DPRK has consistently posed a challenge to the rules-based order and to the vision of a free and open Indo-Pacific. As we continue to see these provocations, we're going to work with our partners in the Indo-Pacific. We're going to work with our partners on the other side of the Atlantic to hold the DPRK accountable.
The United States has recently taken steps to clamp down on sanctions evasion and to pursue targets that support the DPRK's weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missile programs. The DPRK is also subject to a number of UN Security Council resolutions owing to the provocations that it has engaged in recent years. Each of these resolutions were voted on and approved by the permanent five members of the Security Council. Outgoing spokesperson Price encouraged the members of the UN Security Council to again take joint action against the DPRK.
It is incumbent on all five of those members, including Russia and the PRC, to uphold the commitments that they've made, to uphold the commitments that have been signed into international law, and to recognize that a DPRK that is not held to account, that is able to engage in these type of provocations without concerted accountability from the international community is not in the interest of Russia. It's not in the interest of China. It's not in the interest of any country around the world.
The United States will continue to hold the DPRK accountable while recommitting to the security and defense of its treaty allies.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.